Praise God. God is moving. Praise God for the awakening. Turn to Luke chapter 9, if you would. This is kind of an unusual scripture to start from, but I think it's a good one. Luke chapter 9, I want to look at verse 32. This is pulling it out of its complete context. This is the account of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took Peter and James and John with him, I believe. Wasn't it all three of them? Yes, Peter, John, and James went up with him. And I want to look at verse 32. We're going to start here. It says, "But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him." Say, fully awake.
Fully awake.
Fully awake. "When they were fully awake, they saw his glory." Now, I realize this is talking about they fell asleep. They were doing their spiritual duty because they went up on the mountain to pray with Jesus. Jesus said, "Come up and let's go pray." But they drifted. But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And I just want to kind of bounce off of this scripture tonight as we think about the awakening and hear about the awakening that's taking place. And sometimes we might look around and say, well, where? You know, I mean, it's nice to hear about things in other places. You know, I mean, it's nice to hear about big revivals and see stuff going on. But sometimes it's just like, but I don't see that here. Well, when we become fully awake, we can begin to see the awakening that is going on. We can begin to see into the spirit realm, see what's going on in the spirit realm. Now, whether this was a physical manifestation that they could see, or whether they just woke up and saw into the spirit, you know, not with a natural appearance type of thing, I don't know which it really was. But when they were fully awake, they could see. So we need to be fully awake. It means to be fully awake means to keep awake and to be vigilant, to be looking, to be watching, to be paying attention. And it is so easy in the practice of going to the mountain to pray or coming to church or just living life to not be vigilant, to not really be aware of what's going on around you. Sometimes we can just get zeroed into our emotions and we do what we do. And it's not that our heart's wrong or anything, but we just kind of get fogged into our zone and we don't know what's going on around us. But when we're fully awake, we can begin to see into those things. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. I want to just look at a few things this evening to encourage us and to help us to get fully awake. Just things that we can do, or just how to approach things so that we can become fully awake, that we can see the awakening, that we can be aware of what's going on and what's happening. It really ties in with what Gordon was just sharing, even about the gifts. You know, we got to just kind of wake up. Sometimes we just kind of get into that place where we just wait for Gordon to prophesy if there's a nice Spirit of God movement or something, and we just don't, we're not awake. We're just kind of dazed. But if we'll wake up, we can see. We can feel the promptings. We can hear the words. We can see the things happening. Romans 13, I want to read verses 11 through 14 for starters. It says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Now, he goes into an explanation of how some of those things work, but I just want to key in on those few verses. This word awake here in this particular section, where it says it's time for us to awake out of sleep, it is a neat word. It's fun. First of all, it means to rouse from sleep. And you know, a lot of times we can be sort of awake and not really, and sort of asleep and not really. You know how there's times when you're sort of awake and you're aware of what's happening in the room around you or what's going on, but you just haven't really woke up. I mean, you know, you're not really gone. You're not really asleep and out of conscious awareness, but you're not really involved in what's going on. But it says to awake, to rouse from sleep. It also means to rouse from sitting or lying. Sometimes we can be on the right path. We can be going in the right direction. We can be following God to a certain extent, but we can just kind of get sat down. We can just sit down and just, you know, well, this has been a long trip. I'm just, you know, I just want to rest. And we'll just sit down. We're facing the right direction. We've sat down looking the right way. We haven't really veered off the path. We're not really missing the path, but we just sit down. We just quit. We just stop. We need a break. We need a rest. We, you know, we're weary, whatever. We just stop. But to awake means to rouse up from that. Stand up. Get up. Of sitting or lying down. Sometimes we want to break so bad, we just lie down. You know, we don't just sit. We just crash. We just lay back. And, you know, it's one thing to sit down. When you've been busy on your path and you've been working, you've been doing whatever you're doing, and you just need to catch your breath for a minute, and you sit down for just a moment. Well, that can kind of drop your momentum a little bit. But boy, if you lay down, you can really lose some momentum. It's not that you can't get back up, because Scripture's telling us here, wake up, rouse up from sitting down, rouse up from lying. But here's another part of it. To awake means to rouse from disease. Quit sitting in disease. Quit sitting in physical weakness and disability. Rise up into Jesus. Rise up into the provision. And sometimes that might take work. I mean, if it, you know, if healing just falls on us all of a sudden, that is just so wonderful. But when it doesn't fall, it still belongs to us. And it can still be obtained by the work of faith. And sometimes that just means we have to change how we think. We have to change how we talk. We have to change our activities. Sometimes it might mean we have to change physical things. We might have to do things differently to make things work right. But whatever it might be, rise up out of that. Awake. Come alive out of sickness and disease. Come up into health. It means to, awake means to come out of death. Rouse up from death. Rouse up from being dead. You know, we can be dead in lots of ways. We can be alive spiritually, and I believe we probably all are here tonight, you know, alive in our spirit. But you can be dead to a lot of things. Sometimes your emotions can get dead. Now, we're not to be led by our emotions. They're not to control us, but we need them. They're there for a purpose. They serve as helpful tools. But sometimes we can just get dead emotionally. And when you're dead emotionally, it's hard to be stirred by God even. Because he has to go really, really deep and do a big punch to get to us. Because we're numb on the outside. But the scripture said, wake up, awaken out of deadness. Awaken out of being dead in your emotions or in your thinking of just dull deadness where you're just not living. You just don't think life. You don't think lively thoughts from the Word of God. So wake up out of death. It means to come out of obscurity. That's one I think that, you know, it's easy in the circumstances we're in right at the moment with the number of bodies we have that gather with us. we look pretty obscure. You know, we look like we're just not too visible. We are pretty hidden. But yet we got to rise up out of that. We've got to rise up. You know, we can't wait for someone to come and, quote, discover us. We've just got to rise up and be who we're to be. And it'll change things. It'll change and it'll attract other people. But rise up, awake out of obscurity, awake out of inactivity. Sometimes we can be going through a lot of motions, but not really producing anything. You know, we just get into the rhythm of just life, going to work, doing our stuff at home, doing whatever we do, taking care of the kids, going to the places we go. And we're not really producing anything. We're inactive as such. We're the parts are moving, but nothing's happening. So we need to rise up and awake out of inactivity. Means to awake out of ruins. Maybe you feel like your life's in a ruins. Maybe you think there's parts of your life that are just in a ruins. It is just like something's fallen apart and it's just a mess. You don't know what to do with it. It's just this disaster, and you just kind of go on and try to ignore that this disaster is laying there, you know, and just hope that maybe something happens. But we got to rise up out of the ruins. We got to rise up. We can take the life of Jesus and come up out of those ruins. It even means to awake out of non-existence. And when we are not zeroed in on our purpose, on who we are in Christ, of what we're really here for, of what we're to be doing, we're non-existent. And this is a definite condition that the church needs to come out of. I mean, we have all these ways within the church universal that we need to awake, but we need to awake out of non-existence because we have not been making much of an impact. I mean, praise God for places that are and places that are coming alive. And I know there are churches in different places that do make a big impact, but we've got to rise up out of non-existence. We've got to become that diffuser of the fragrance of God so that there's something happening with us. You know, just going through the routine of coming to church and loving God. I don't mean this that we're not, you know, that we don't, quote, love God and that we're not in faith toward Him, but we're not really producing God stuff in our life. We're just going along. We need to rise up out of that non-existence and become the church that Jesus has made us to be. And it's a heavy responsibility because it requires our cooperation. It requires work. It requires us to participate. We can't just sit on the pew and not be involved. We've got to wake up from these things. So it means to rouse from sleep, sitting, or lying, disease, death, obscurity, inactivity, ruins, and non-existence. We have got to wake up. We have got to wake up out of these things so that we can be a part of the awakening. Awakening is happening where people are waking up. And it's not like there's this awakening thing apart from people waking up. The awakening is people waking up to God, waking up to the things of the Spirit of God and what God wants to do and is doing in some places, but He wants to do it in all places. God wants to move in big ways. And He's been moving here. I mean, God, praise God, God's been moving here. I mean, He's wooing us, but He's just saying, don't back off. Keep waking up more and more. Keep waking up more and more because He's got so much more for us to do. The gifts of the Spirit, there's things that we can do, but we have to put ourselves in a position for those to happen. God doesn't just jerk you in off the street and say, here, prophesy, you know. He doesn't just do that. You gotta be willing to pay attention to a prompting. You got to be willing to feed on the Word so you know if it's God that's talking to you. It's not something else. You got it so that you know what's right. But we got to wake ourselves up and be a part of this. Now, in this section right here, there's just a lot of interesting things here. He says about knowing the time, that it's high time to awake out of sleep. He says, for our salvation is nearer than we first believed. With just the things we've been studying in Sunday school, looking at the things of the end times, it's like, it is just, Paul believed this back then. Boy, it's got to be even more true now. This verse has got to be way more true now, because it's been a couple of thousand years since he said this. So it is our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It's nearer than when we first came to the Lord. It is really on the brink of coming. It is really ready to come forth. It says the night is far spent. And as I read this today, I just saw something that I hadn't seen before. Because when I read that, that doesn't necessarily say anything specifically to me. You know, it's sort of like it's pretty poetic language, that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. It's a nice poetic sentence. It's an attractive sentence, maybe expressive. But it's like, what is, and I thought about this, and it's like, the night is far spent. When you think about the glory of God departing in the Garden of Eden, and darkness came into play because the devil took over. So the night is far spent. It's been a long, long time that the earth has been under this cloud of darkness. A long, long time. And even though Jesus has defeated the enemy, there's still a whole lot of the enemy's work that has not been dealt with, that has not been put under our feet and been stopped. So the night is far spent. And he says, the day is at hand. And I think of the day, now, don't take this as a doctrinal statement here, but that the day is at hand, that millennium day is coming when God rules. That time, that's the day when the devil's locked up and not running around, and God begins to rule. That is daytime. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Our salvation is getting really, really close. And that means complete salvation. It's more than just being born again. It's more than just experiencing something. It means complete, total deliverance of where we are made completely like Jesus. Our bodies will be redeemed. We will be delivered from all the influence of the sin nature in its completion. We will be clean. We will be clean and be able to rule with Jesus. So it says, because of this, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. These are things that he's saying, you know, it's time to awaken out of sleep. These are the things we need to do. We've got to cast off the works of darkness. And whatever they might be, everybody might have a little bit of one here, there, or whatever. You got to cast it off. We heard a message this morning that was Keith Moore was talking about judging. And I'll tell you, after listening to that, it's like you never want to express an opinion ever again. Because it's just like, man, the way he brought it forth is like every time you express an opinion about just something, because he used like armchair quarterbacks about how when you watch football and they make a call, you know, or the guy drops a ball or something. He should have had that. It was right in the numbers. He should have had that. He shouldn't have dropped it. And he says, you don't know what he was experiencing. You don't know about the three ribs that got cracked the game before that are shooting up pain, and the ankle that got twisted in the play right before that that's screaming at him. You know, all these things, and the sweat running down his face, and the sun in his eyes when he looked up to try to get. He says, you don't know all this stuff. And he says, what that is judging. You're making a judgment call that you don't have any knowledge and experience of that particular moment, of what that particular person is dealing with, to express an opinion. He says things like, you know, when you say, well, I would never do that. You know, how many of us have said that? Well, I'd never say that. But all this, and it's just like, what, but it's little things like that that are works of darkness. You know, and maybe that isn't something with you, whatever it might be, but we all probably have areas that God will show us that needs development, change, done away with, whatever. So we need to cast off the works of darkness. I'm trusting that we don't need to be casting off murdering and thieving and all that kind of stuff, that should already be gone. But if not, cast it off, okay? We don't want that. And he says, and then put on the armor of light. We've got to put on the things of Jesus Christ. We can go to Ephesians and look at the armor there. We have got to put on Jesus' armor. We have got to put on the things of God. Then it says we need to walk properly. We need to be walking in order as in the day. We need to walk as though the day were already here. You know, when I was comparing the time of darkness until the time of the millennium, when Jesus is actually in control and there's order and sin isn't running rampant and all that kind of stuff, we need to live like we're already there. Yeah. Even though darkness is still here and in a lot of places and covering a lot of things, we still need to walk like we're already in the day, yes. Like we're already there. Yes. It's that faith walk of walking already in what's coming. Not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust and strife and envy. Not in those kind of things. We need to walk in the love of God. We need to walk in the character and the nature of God and the Word of God and all these things. We've got to walk properly in the day. And then he says, put on, verse 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to put on who we are in Jesus. We've got to take what he has done for us and put that on in our life. We have got to walk in that. We've got to put on that righteousness, that right standing with God, and we've got to walk in it all the time. We can't just, you know, think about it in particular moments, you know, when we realize we did something wrong, we repent, okay, yes, now I'm righteous again, and then it just kind of fades away again. We've got to walk in that righteousness, always being aware that we're right with God. Even when we sin, we're still in that right place with God. Now, we probably don't act like it because sin has its effects, but we're still in the right. We have not lost our righteousness if we sin. We've got to always be mindful of that righteousness and who we are in Jesus Christ. Put him on, live in him. And he says, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And the flesh. So many times we think of the flesh as just our body, of, you know, what our body wants. Well, sometimes it is those things, but flesh are thoughts and desires that are contrary to God, whatever they might be, thoughts and desires that are contrary to God. And it says, make no provision for them. That means if something that you do sort of helps you have a tendency to do something not quite right, then quit doing that thing that gives you the tendency. You know, sometimes it's not, don't do this deed anymore. It's quit doing this one that leans you that way. You know, we're trying to conquer this one out here when that's really not the issue. If we quit doing the one that leans us that way, then that one isn't an issue anymore. But not make any provision to fulfill anything wrong, any fleshly thoughts or desires that are contrary to God. Now, on into chapter 14, I'm not going to read all through that because he's talking about different ways that we interact with one another and helping one another and not causing people to stumble. But at the end of verse 14, in verse 23, he makes a statement. He says, he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. He was talking about whether you should eat meat that's been offered up to idols and how that affects someone that thinks that idol is something and hurting their conscience and all. But that last statement of that verse 23 says, for whatever is not of faith is sin. We need to get rid of whatever's not of faith. We need to live in a way that everything you do, you know that it is acceptable in God's sight. That it's faith and confidence in God that it's okay to do. So whatever's not of faith, if you've got doubts about things, if you're not sure, if you feel like that's just probably not right, But you do it anyway, but it's because what everybody else does, or it's because what the boss says we have to do, or it's just the way everybody else handles things, you know, that kind of stuff. We got to get rid of that, because if it's not faith, then it's sin, and we don't want to have any of that. Now, just a few other scriptures. Matthew 13, I want to just take a look at a verse there, having to do with becoming fully awake. Matthew 13, I want to take a look at verse 15. You know, when the scriptures tell us that we're to wake up, sometimes we think that sleep just sort of overtook us. You know, I mean, because sometimes in the natural it sort of does. You know, you have good intentions, you know, just like on Sundays when somebody's preaching, you know, you got a good intention, but you've had a long week and you're a little tired, and then all of a sudden you're just not quite there anymore. You know, and it's sort of like accidental sleep. But I want to look at verse 15 here of Matthew 13. It's Jesus is quoting this from Isaiah. He says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they would understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Sometimes our sleep is intentional. Have you ever been asleep or partly asleep, and you know it's time to get up, and you don't want to? So you don't open your eyes, because if you open your eyes, the light will get you. Or you'll see something that will kind of help bring you to consciousness, you know, whatever, you know, just whether it's your wall or the foot of the bed, or but you'll see something in the natural realm that's going to pull you. And you really don't want to be pulled out, because you just like to sleep. You know, you didn't quite get enough all night long, and you just feel like you need a little more. So you won't open your eyes. But when the disciples became fully awake, when their eyes got completely opened, they could see the things of the Spirit. And we don't want to be the kind of sleepers that are sleeping because we don't want our eyes open. When I was little, I learned at a young age to fall asleep in front of the television. It is just an ingrained, trained practice of my household. But when it would be time to go to bed, Daddy would pick me up and carry me upstairs. And I would not still be asleep, but I wouldn't open my eyes because he's carrying me. I don't want to have to wake up and get up and go upstairs to bed. I don't want to do that. So I just stay asleep and he carries me. Well, sometimes we're that way with God. We don't want to wake up. We just want to keep our eyes closed and let God carry us. But I'll say my personal opinion is that I don't think he'll always do that. Because he's saying, awake, wake up, get fully awake. So we don't want to close our own eyes. We want to open our eyes. Amen? We want to open our eyes. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. We want to open our eyes. We want to be awake, because we don't want to miss this awakening. Man, if this is the last final move of God, we don't want to miss it. We do not want to miss it. Praise God. Chapter 15, verse 34. It says, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin." It's one of those great verses of where it takes away all our excuses about sin, because it just says, don't do it. Just don't do it. Awake to righteousness. Awake to your right standing in God. Know that God has made you right through Jesus. He's accepted you. He wants you to come to him, and he doesn't want you to sin anymore. So we have to be awake and not sin. This awake means to rouse out of stupor. This is kind of that one of where we're sort of awake, but we really don't want to open our eyes. We just, you know, we'd rather just kind of hang there, you know. And if you don't really pay any attention, you know, you can just kind of float along, but eventually you got to open your eyes. We got to wake up, got to wake up. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Just a few more things just to stir us about waking up. Just got to be awake. You know, just even as in praise and worship, as God's just been, his presence has been so strong and just moving in our midst, we got to wake up for that. You know, it's nice to sense his presence, but we can't stay asleep while that's going on. Because see, it's easy when the presence of God comes. We don't have to pay attention. We can just enjoy. We got to be careful that we're not asleep when his presence is here. We need to be awake. We need to be awake and pay attention. He might want to say something to us. He might want to say something through us. I mean, and if it's just a time of fellowship with God and just enjoying his presence, praise the Lord. I'm not saying not do that. But we have to wake up to be used of God. We have to wake up to what he wants to do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." You heard that any this evening? Okay, just checking. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." These are, again, just a few more things about waking up out of sleep, coming up out of death, ruins, destruction, all those things, coming up out of inactivity and disease and non-existence. And then it says, "See that you walk circumspectly." I had this scripture a few weeks ago. Remember, I told you about our pastor in our home church preached a sermon about circumspectly. He says, that's like when you walk through a cow pasture. That's how walking circumspectly is. You got to pay attention to where you're going. You can't just run out, just run wherever you want to. You got to pay attention to where you're going so you don't get in any trouble. It says, not as fools, but as wise. We're going to be wise. We're going to walk carefully. We're going to walk circumspectly. And it says, redeeming the time. To redeem the time means to rescue from loss and improve your opportunities. There's things we can do. You know, there's things I mentioned earlier that we do that give us a tendency to something that we shouldn't do. Well, there's things we can do that'll give us a tendency to things we should do. So we need to do those kind of things so that we can improve our opportunities. It's just like coming to church on Sunday night, you're improving your opportunity. You're taking another opportunity to gather with the body and to be in the presence of God in the corporate setting. There's things that happen in those settings, and God moves in ways in those settings that doesn't happen at home in your, you know, in your devotional time or watching TV or whatever. There's certain things that happen. So you're taking advantage and making an opportunity better when you come to those services. Whenever you put yourself in a position where the Spirit of God is moving and is there, you give yourself more opportunities. And then there's other ways. That's just one example. But improving your opportunity, redeeming the time, making the time work for us. Making the time work for us so that we don't lose time, that we don't just go through a bunch of time and then look back and realize nothing happened. Nothing got accomplished. We want to redeem it. And then it tells us not to be unwise, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. And we get that by spending time in God's Word and with Him, learning the Scriptures, knowing what God's will is, instead of just, well, I just don't really know. Well, then we got to find out. And sometimes there's things that aren't just chapter and verse right off the bat of particular things that we deal with in our daily life, that it means you got to seek God. You gotta take some effort and put some effort into it and take some time to get the answers. But understand what the will of God is. Find what God's will is for all these situations. And then to be filled with the Spirit. We're always being encouraged to be filled with the Spirit of God and being refilled. That's what happens, you know, in worship when God comes. It's letting the Holy Spirit come in and just refill us and keep filling us up with the presence of God and with the work of God in us. And then verse 20 is a good one for just what we're studying in Sunday morning services, of giving thanks always for all things to God. Always being thankful. That is just, you know, that'll keep you awake. If you will just sit and start thanking God for everything that you have, well, that'll just wake you right up. And you know, depending on how asleep you are, it might take a longer list than some other people. But once you start, it's like when you really get that flow going, it'll wake you up, because then you begin to realize just what we've got in Jesus, all that God does for us, all that we have. We begin to wake up to those things and be able to see them. Begin to wake up. And then the last one there is always a fun one, verse 21. Submitted to one another in the fear of God. That's part of our waking up. Submitting to one another. You know, recognizing, as Gordon said earlier, that everybody's got a part. Everybody has something. And it doesn't always have to be within the formal service setting. It might be stuff when we're just chatting before church or after church or at different times, or it can be anywhere. It doesn't even have to be in the church building, but just opportunities where we have to recognize everybody's got a little something. Everybody's got something that they see from God. Maybe they see just a little bit different perspective, or see something that you've never seen before in the Scriptures, and we can share those things and develop and grow. But we got to be awake to that. If our eyes are closed and we think, well, you know, if the pastor doesn't say it, I'm not going to pay attention to anybody else, you know, because the pastor is the professional, you know, and some people are that way. They don't listen to other people. And I don't think you are that way, but there are people that way that, you know, or if it doesn't come from, you know, their favorite preacher on TV, well, they're not going to pay any attention, because, well, what do these other people know? You know, it's just things like that. It's waking up to God, and God can use people that are not saved. He can use people that are not living godly sometimes to say something to us or to show us something. But it's being awake and recognizing what's going on around us. One last verse, Proverbs 6. We want to be fully awake so we can see this awakening, see what's going on. We don't want to miss it. You know, when we're asleep, you know, we talked about just being kind of half asleep, and you don't really want to open your eyes because it means, you know, you have to really get up if you open your eyes and all that kind of stuff. God can be moving all around us sometimes, and if we're not awake, we miss what He's doing. Yeah. Or if because it didn't happen to us, we don't want to pay any attention. You know, maybe we're not, quote, getting touched in that particular moment, and we can miss so much, and we don't want to do it. We want to be awake. We want to see what God is doing. Proverbs 6, verse 22. Now, this is another little unusual scripture, but it's still a good one. Talking about keeping the law of your mother and your father's commands, which is the word of God to us. It says, when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. When we wake up, God will start talking. When we wake ourselves up, God will start talking to us. The Word will start talking to us. And that, it can come from, you know, lots of different places. It doesn't just have to be on, you know, from the pulpit on Sunday morning, but the Word will start speaking to us. The Word you've planted in your heart, all of a sudden will speak to you. All of a sudden it'll just pop up in a circumstance, and it's like, oh, I never saw that before. But when we awake, they'll speak with us. Praise God, even if we're asleep, God's going to keep us. He's not going to throw us out or anything. But when we're awake, the Word will speak to us. When we're awake, when we're fully awake, we can see into the spirit realm. We can begin to see what God is doing. And we need to wake up and start looking now and be able to start seeing what, because God is moving. He's been moving. I mean, he's always with us. There's the general that he's always been with us, you know. But God is doing things in people's hearts and lives. God's moving in our services. And sometimes it's not necessarily visible in the natural realm. But we need to be awake so that we can see it anyway. It's like, and you have situations, Roxanne mentioned, where there can be just kind of all this chaos going on during awakening, and you don't think, well, this doesn't look like awakening. You know, this looks like a mess. Well, sometimes there's a mess before you see God putting everything in order. But God says everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. So sometimes people's lives or a business or a country or a situation or whatever gets shaken, and it just rattles everything, and all the stuff comes to the surface. I mean, we've been seeing that in so many ways, and it just looks awful because everything's all messed up, and you see all this sin and this dishonesty and just the lack of integrity in things and just all this stuff, and it's like, oh, where is God? Well, he's underneath the pile going like this and fluffing it all up, you know, and stirring it all up, and then he'll bring order. He'll bring order. He's going to shake it all up, and then he's going to scrape away what doesn't belong and put things in its right place. But we got to be awake to see that. And if we're asleep, it's just like, man, the world's going to pot. You know, that's all you can see. Or if you got people that aren't saved and, you know, they're not living for God and their lives are a mess, and it's just like, man, their lives are just going down the drain. And that's all you can see. But sometimes in the middle of that going down the drain stuff, God is working. Oh, he is chewing on their heart. He is talking to them. He is nudging them, bumping into them all the time. Just say, hey, hey, hey. He doesn't need to say lots, you know. He can say a lot in just a word or two. Or just a, I'm here. You know, sometimes on Sunday mornings, you know, we'll talk about, we can see God is in, and God just gets in people's face. I mean, you don't really see that, but it's just like he just comes right up to people that just are a little not so sure how much they want to get involved with that, but he'll just kind of come right up and, here I am. He's not threatening them, you know, he's not, but he's just, I'm here. And some of them are sort of like, because they know he's there. And we look at the fear, and we look at the not wanting, the hand that won't go up, or and we think just God, rebellion, oh man, they need help, you know. And God's right there just bumping on him, saying, I'm still here. I'm going to come every Sunday. I'm going to be here right on the pew with you. And he's just working on them. And we want to be awake so we can see that, so that we don't just look out and think things are just dead and it's just not going to get any better. Because there's a lot of ugly stuff out there right now that just looks like it's not going to get any better. But we got to be awake so we can see what God's doing and enjoy what God is doing. Because if you're asleep, you can miss what's going on. You can miss the benefits of God. You got to be awake. You got to be awake to righteousness. You got to be awake to Jesus and what's going on so that you can participate and enjoy. And you got, otherwise you're going to be kind of asleep, sitting, lying into disease, death, obscurity, inactivity, ruins, and non-existence. You're just going to kind of, you go through life and just praise God there is heaven when you die. And we don't want to live that way. We want to enjoy what God has for us. Amen? Let's stand up. We want to enjoy what God has. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we want to wake up. Father, if we're just being a little drowsy, if we're just kind of keeping our eyes shut because it just feels so good this way and we just don't really want to have to see what's out there and what doesn't look right, God, just keep shaking us. Just keep shaking on us until we just refuse to stay asleep, and we open our eyes and get involved with you and see what you're doing. Father, we don't want to miss this awakening. We want to be a part of it. We want to be right in the middle of it. So you just keep working on us. You just keep doing what you're doing and just keep helping us. And we're going to wake up. We are going to come fully awake. Fully awake so that we can see what you're doing. So that we don't miss a thing. We won't miss any opportunity. We won't miss any time, God. We're going to see what is going on. We're going to enjoy what is going on. And we're going to hear you speak to us. We're going to hear your words speak to us and help us, God. Thank you, Father, for waking us up and for pouring out your glory for us to enjoy as well as to spread throughout the earth for all people to see and know that you are God. We love you, Father. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you died for us and saved us and made us alive, brought us out of death and destruction. We could live with you, live in your life. Thank you, Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.